Radio 786 or 100.4 FM, you are tuned into Reflection. And it's time now for our final feature, and that is Consumer Lounge. Consumer Lounge is a space for airing your consumer experiences in the market space, your experience with general products and services, a guide to online shopping and other buzzing things that might be on your mind when spending your money. And our topic this evening, our focus, is the International Fraud Summit and also how fraud has impacted us as the end consumer in South Africa. This is definitely going to be an interesting conversation we'll be having. Well, we'll be having three conversations during the session. And certainly, I'm sure, that each and every one of us can learn something here this evening. Something to take away from this, as we know we get those fraudulent calls all the time. Now, traditionally, South Africa has been a popular country among fraudsters looking for every opportunity to try and find the next victim. Statistics from the Southern African Fraud Prevention Service, SAFPS, point out that there was a 600% increase in incidents reported by the members in 2022 when compared to 2018. That's only 4 years with a 600% increase. The South African Fraud Prevention Service, SAFPS, in its role as the South African custodian of fraud prevention, has decided to take decisive action to tackle the problem that scams are posing to our economy. Over the years, the SAFPS has rolled out several important communication campaigns that aim to educate South Africans about the various frauds and scams they can become victims of. However, the challenge is that reporting a scam, while important, is a reactive response once a person has already become a victim, says Nazia Karim, head of product development at the SAFPS. We need to establish a proactive approach to combating fraud and scams, and that ultimately lies in your hands as the everyday consumer. Daley Ndeal, executive head of Secure Citizen. And that will be our first guest this evening. Then we chat to Gosh Shub, SAFPS International Fraud Summit spokesperson. And then finally, to wrap up the program, we chat with Nazia Karim, head of product development at the Southern African Fraud Prediction Service. And our first guest this evening, spokesperson Daley Ndeal, executive head of Secure Citizen. And she'll be talking to us about Secure Citizen and it's changing, how it's changing the narrative in the fight against fraud. So join me in welcoming our guest. Good evening, Daleen, and thank you so much for joining us. Welcome to Reflections.
Thank you so much, Ayud. It's always a pleasure to be on a show like yours.
Thank you so much for taking the time to share with us. This is definitely a topic of discussion that I think has either affected us or someone that we know. Because, like that stats I've read, a 600% increase in 4 years, that is absolutely astonishing. It's scary. It's scary, to say the very least. I mean, I don't think there's any other way to put it. It's just absolutely scary that people are getting caught out by this. And it's innocence, it's ignorance, it's trust that allow us to go down these roads. And certainly when it comes to Secure Citizen, let's hope that there's some good news on the horizon for us, Daleen.
Absolutely. And I mean, I must tell you that I don't know if you've ever been a victim of identity theft, but it is the gift that keeps on giving, or rather the nightmare that keeps on giving.
I'm sure.
Matter your walk of life. It has the potential of hitting you.
Thankfully, I have not yet been a victim of identity theft or identity fraud, and I pray that I am protected from that. But certainly, I can understand that, like you're saying, it's a nightmare that keeps giving. It's something that will continuously haunt you and you need to constantly go over your shoulder, certainly. Now, Daleen, we're here to speak about Secure Citizen. So firstly, can you inform our listeners what exactly is Secure Citizen? Why it's important to have a portal like this and what difference it's making within our community?
So it really, the importance of something like this can't be understated. We've historically fought against fraudsters, but the way that the access that we've had has not given us the means to be proactive in that fight.
Yes.
And fraudsters are cunning and they're strategic and they're relentless. But a solution such as Secure Citizen gives citizens the ability to take some control of their identity back.
Okay.
And it gives a citizen the means to be able to really take advantage of the regulation that's put in place to protect us. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when you think about when companies have to deal with us, they need to prove that we are who we claim to be.
Yes, yes.
And that's how they would prevent a fraudster from using your identity. But similarly, when a individual is dealing with another individual, you also want to make sure that you're dealing with the right person. So at the end of the day, the whole point of this is how do we recreate trust? Because, you know, historically, we've also got to realize that there are two victims when identity theft or impersonation fraud happens, the company as well as the person is a victim. And ultimately, what we need to do is we've taken the time to develop something that brings companies and individuals closer together so that we can close that gap that fraudsters have historically used to walk away with the only one that benefits while companies and citizens blame each other.
And that's the thing, though, when it comes to a situation like that, when you have been defrauded as an end consumer, you're obviously looking for someone to blame. And the first person you're going to go to is the space where you lost. And unfortunately, this is the outcome. Like you're saying, there are two losers and one winner in this game of fraud, in this nightmare of fraud. And we see this happening more and more often. Like we've spoken, that stats, 600% increase in the past 4 years. This is scary. And we know that when it comes to looking at trying to mitigate these risks, banks especially, one example of this certainly that I've experienced myself, where I was trying to access something through my bank account or through my bank, and I had to do a security check. So they asked me a few questions, and at the end of the few questions, they told me, sorry, but you were unsuccessful. There's certain questions, security questions that you answered incorrectly. I'm like, what else could those answers be? But essentially, they told me, look, if you want to have access to this account, to this information, you'll need to call back, speak to another agent, and if you get the questions correct, then we will be able to proceed. So there are being steps that are being put in order to protect us, certainly. And like we mentioned now, unfortunately, when it comes to being a victim of fraud, it is a reactive step that we take. So when it comes to being proactive, and your secure citizen, hopefully, like you're saying, is going to bridge that gap. So can you please explain to our listeners, Daylene, how exactly secure citizen works?
100%. So that process that you just spoke about is something called knowledge-based authentication. That's where they ask you the 3 to 5, 5 to 8 questions. And it is frustrating when you are trying to either stop a card because you're worried it's been stolen, and there's nothing worse than when you fail that KBA, especially if you're in a state of tiz, because, you know, when you have to remember those things, think about one of the questions they like to ask is, what's your monthly installment on your car? How is the interest rate going up and down? Not everybody knows. But the thing is that a fraudster makes it their business to know, because that is their business. So they sit with those answers if there's been data leaks and those sorts of things. So those questions have lost some of its efficacy. And when you think about how we historically verified, we used to do certified copies of IDs, right?
But
the commissioner of oath or the sergeant that certified the ID doesn't check the system. So there's no way that they know whether that ID is real or fraudulent. And basically what the Secure Citizen Solution has done is taken the fight against fraud to the next level by creating the capability for a citizen to literally log on to the solution, and then we still require them to register. We're still going to ask them to put in some information, like an email address, and we'll still do two-factor authentication where they'd have to verify that. But then we will ask them to actually take a selfie. Now, we all know that people have gotten really good at taking selfies because we post them on social media all the time, right? So we want you to take that beautiful selfie. But what we then do is we actually biometrically verify that against the Department of Home Affairs. And all that means is we use your facial features, the things that make you unique, not the information that can be stolen or the thing that you carry, but what you were born with, your face, your voice, your fingerprints. Those are your biometrics. But in our current solution, we take that selfie and we compare it against your image at the Home Affairs. And once we're sure that you are you, we give you the ability to access your own secure citizen digital identity wallet, for lack of a better word,
okay,
where you can see your home affairs information and validate that it's correct. Where are you currently able to really see your information without having to phone home affairs to check if your surname has changed or your marital status has changed or your smart card's been issued?
Yes.
And I want to please ask the consumers to take into consideration, if you are skeptical about getting your smart card because you don't want the home affairs to have your biometrics, it's really important for consumers to realize that fraudsters love it when nobody knows what you look like.
Yeah.
It makes it so easy for them to impersonate you.
Definitely.
But when Home Affairs has your biometrics, they are able to verify you through technology, and it caters for liveness. It can't be a picture of a picture. The technology that we've built in is really secure to verify that it's you. And then you're able to see things like your identity tab, and we're able to show you your protective registration if you've changed anyone out. We even allow the ability to do person-to-person verifications without sharing sensitive information, so that you don't end up in a pickle if you're going to meet the person you make online for the first time, or letting a plumber into your house, or something like that. We want to equip citizens on being able to verify that they are who they claim to be, and to verify the persons that they're allowing into their personal space.
So it's not just about you protecting your data and your surroundings, but also those coming into your space. That is absolutely 100%. Phenomenal, Daleen.
100%. Through just a cell phone number. And we don't care what cell phone number they're holding, because it's not about the number.
Yes.
It's about the person that is taking the selfie, because we verify the face. As long as both parties are claimed secure citizens, then we can do a person-to-person verification with nothing more than a selfie verified against Home Affairs. And the magic happens in the background.
That is phenomenal. Some leaps and bounds being made in terms of security. And we know when it comes to this, sometimes it is these fraudsters, these scammers, these operators that come in dressed up in a facade to enter your home and take advantage of undenounced our elderly, our people who are certainly not expecting something like this. This hopefully 100%. Will bridge that gap. This is absolutely amazing. Now, I need to ask you, Daleen, we spoke about that increase of 600% in 4 years, right? Now, certainly to create a product like this, a platform like this, a secure citizen, certainly this had to come off the back of these horrendous statistics, this increase of fraud reports and scam reports in the stats.
Yeah.
But for me as the layman, to unpack that 600%, what does it actually mean to me? Because 600% could mean absolutely anything. But in the context of a number, in the number of persons, what would that mean to me, and how prevalent is that fraud? Just to give us an understanding as to why a platform like Secure Citizen needed to be implemented.
So I'm going to tackle it from a slightly different angle, because like you said, 600% could mean anything, right?
Yes,
so,
yes.
So let me, and to give you slightly more granular detail, in the latest statistics that SAFPS released, the overall fraud in the country has increased by 40%. That's taking all fraud into account, right?
Yeah.
Now, part of that, you get something like money muling. It's really important for people to understand what money muling is. It is when somebody comes and convinces you to use your bank account because they're struggling to open one, and they'll give you a portion of the money, and then, you know, that you both use the account. But that's illegal, because it could be used for money laundering. Right?
Yes,
so that's money muling. That's gone up by 62% year on year in the last year. Fraudulent documents being submitted. Now, you can imagine in our economy, you know, some people are desperate. They might give in a fake bank statement to get that bit of credit that they need. That's still fraud. So that's gone up by 66%. But impersonation fraud, somebody pretending to be somebody else, has gone up by 356% year on year, just between 2021 and 2022.
Wow.
The year before that, it was 337%. So it's constantly compounding. And the reason why SAFPS came to our company and we created Secure Citizen in 2019 was because they saw that this was just getting out of hand. So, you know, to give you an idea, in South Africa is the third highest hit with cybercrime globally. In terms of all of the countries, we're third highest hit. So it really is important for us as South Africans to take our country back and to start. And you must remember, the fraudsters are the minority.
Yes,
we
yes.
are the majority. And it's important for us to start saying, do you know what? Nobody else has the right to use your ID number or your personal
That's right.
information except you.
That's
you
right.
can't go to the Home Affairs and get a new one. It's not like a card that you replace. This is your identity. It's who you are. And only you should be able to use it. My dream is one day to live in a world where I can publish my information. It doesn't mean anything to you because you're not me. You don't
yes.
have my face, my voice,
yes.
and my fingerprint.
Yes.
And we need to get to a point where South Africans are aware what they can do so that they don't become victims of crime. They don't have to sit back and feel like they've got no control. It's not a silver bullet, but it definitely gives you so much more access to controlling your data and just taking that bit of ownership back.
And that's what it's all
about. We've got to create friction for fraudsters.
Yes.
Make it frictionless for consumers. Imagine being able to just use your face to verify instead of having to answer those five
yeah,
questions.
Yeah, that would be absolutely amazing, eh? And let's hope that when it comes to Secure Citizen, that we adopt this idea and that it becomes a norm so that we can protect ourselves, our information, our vital information that is being put out there, and create a safe space for ourselves, especially when we are letting strangers into our home. Daleen, we are already out of time, and I wish we could continue chatting about this amazing platform. But before I do let you go, I just need to ask you two more questions. Is there a charge to using the service Secure Citizen? And is Secure Citizen POPI compliant?
So the short answer is we're not going to charge a citizen for using their own biometric. You were born with it. It's yours.
Right.
We're just making it possible for you to access the service and to prove that you are who you say you are and to manage your data and see who's touching your data, because there's an alert function in there.
Yes.
That's
yes.
where it becomes the ability to make it proactive. And in terms of POPI compliance, it's so compliant that when you do that person-to-person verification, you don't get the name and the face of the other person until they've biometrically verified, because
okay.
it is properly compliant.
Right.
So,
right.
And we make it very clear to the companies that use our technology, the data doesn't belong to them, and the data doesn't belong to Secure Citizen. The data remains the ownership of the citizen, which is why we show your Home Affairs information, because even though they issued your identity, it's your information to keep up to date and keep control of.
Your information to keep and protect, certainly, and Secure Citizen going all the way in order to try and mitigate that risk, trying to bridge that gap, and certainly hope that it does happen. Daleen, we do need to end at that point. I want to say thank you so much to you for joining us on the show, and we hope that Secure Citizen takes off and that our citizens of South Africa take on to the concept and the idea to help us make this country a safer space for everyone. Thank you so much, and bye-bye.
Thank you, Ayo. Bye.
And that's in the voice of a spokesperson, Daleen Deal, executive head of Secure Citizen, telling us about what that app is capable of. We do need to take a break now. When we return, we'll continue this conversation on fraud prevention. Stay tuned.